Good evening and welcome to the Actually podcast for Halloween for October 31st.
Ooh.
Spooky. This is Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And we got some comics to talk about. This is one of them fifth weeks where they put out the weird stuff.
Mercifully, there was some other non-weird stuff as well.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of weird stuff.
There was a lot of weird stuff, but let's, I think we have them at the top here.
Yeah,
so let's,
I put them just to get them out of the way first.
To get them out of the way, let's talk about...
It really hasn't been that long since there was more of these.
No, they're really putting all their faith in the Hanna-Barbera DC crossovers.
Mm. Four more.
And here's four more. We've got Superman Top Cat, Nightwing Magilla Gorilla, Deathstroke and Yogi Bear, which everybody's been waiting for, Green Lantern and Huckleberry Hound. And so from top to bottom, you've got Superman Top Cat, which is basically a silly, jokey, like funny one,
yes,
which I enjoyed. Magilla Gorilla, which is sort of their mystery one. It's a murder mystery kind of thing. Mm. You got Deathstroke Yogi Bear, which is the superhero-y, like shooty one.
Yes, well, in that one, there's zombies. It's like zombie animals and sinister corporations.
Yeah, that one is
I
bonkers.
Actually thought it was okay. It was definitely, I think it was my favorite of the four.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Mark Russell wrote the Green Lantern one, and I like him.
Yeah, and Mark Russell wrote a Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound one that takes place during the Vietnam War and war protests, and of course it gets political and weird, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and he's really good at that. So it's the Jon Stewart version, and not the Daily Show Jon Stewart, but the wah wah wah. That's
exactly.
So funny joke that's never been made before by anyone.
Perfect.
So that's the fifth week DC, Hanna-Barbera DC. We blew through it, but fun.
Yeah,
fun as usual. Silliness. Feel like those, there's more of them. So I was delighted that there was a new issue of Doom Patrol, the Gerard Way Doom Patrol series number 12. It's who knows how late. And it was a fun one because
they're preparing for the Milk War, so
yeah
pretty
which
late.
Definitely like is already in a trade and has been out for 6 months. So this is, there's a character in the Doom Patrol series, named Lucius, who is, like a junior sorcerer kind of kid, and his dad is an ambulance driver, and, he is, at some point in the series, he vanishes into this demon world, demonscape or something like that, and this is all him, in the demonscape with his mom and dad, and it is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so good. I love this comic. I'm sad that it doesn't come out more often, but when it does come out, it's really good. They have kind of guest art on this one by Dan McDade, who I've heard of before, but not super familiar with. Art's really good. I think Nick Darrington, who is the regular artist, might have done layouts, but I'm not sure. It does kind of have a feel where it's like, it seems kind of similar to his stuff, but yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. This is my top pick of the week, hands down, Doom Patrol number 12 from DC.
Cool. There's a Batman one-shot out this week.
Surprisingly decent.
Yeah, surprisingly decent. It's got some cool ideas in it, some fun stuff.
Yeah, it has a Detective Chimp team-up, and it also has really strong art, I thought, throughout. And it's multiple writers and artists and different, I'm not sure why it's a secret files. I think it's just basically they're like, we need a inventory Batman issue, but
exactly.
But totally fun.
Yep. And we've got a Justice League Dark Wonder Woman Witching Hour, which is number one. Yes. Which, by the way, is not Wonder Woman Justice League Witching Hour number one.
Is it Justice League number one?
This is Justice League Dark Wonder Woman Witching Hour. So they flipped the names. They are different because they're flipped, so just remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I actually really liked this crossover. They're doing things in that Dark Justice League Dark book that is addressing like the magic characters in DC, and this is James Tynion, who is kind of the alternate writer who you like a lot on the Justice League series, and in general is a pretty good writer who I like, and had really good... really good wrap for the storyline. It was a weekly crossover, so it's done now, and it kind of there's this guy, the Upside Down Man, who's really kind of interesting and does a thing in this comic that you would think that not anyone would be able to do, but involving Hecate.
One heck of Hecate.
Or Hecate, as you might possibly say. Like
sure.
I did when I was a kid.
Nice. Okay, so West Coast Avengers number 3.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Good.
It's great.
Yeah, it has the Brodoc. It has been revealed as the one who is making people giant, and they have to fight the giants and Brodoc.
And some like kaiju kind of monsters.
Well, yeah, that's the giants and the kaiju. Yeah. It's like literally, he's like basically like he mutates people into enormous monstrous versions of themselves, and one of the Avengers West Coast team gets mutated and enlarged at the end. I guess it's a little bit of a spoiler, but it's a really fun book, and that doesn't really spoil much.
Yep. Marvel 2-in-1, still coming out.
It is. So this is, I would just, Chip Zdarsky's Marvel 2-in-1, which has previously been The Thing and The Human Torch. Now that the Fantastic Four is back, this is the one where the Thing gets to confront Mr. Fantastic about why he is such an asshole. And it's literally the entire comic, and it is actually quite entertaining. It gets a little muddy with alternate universes. I don't know what Zdarsky's deal is with alternate universes in Marvel, but almost everything he does involves like some kind of future or alternate universe, and it's getting to a point where it's
might be drugs.
He's into altered states. This is probably one of the big books of the week.
Yeah, Heroes in Crisis number 2.
Heroes in Crisis number 2.
What's funny about this book is that it's one of those books that seems to be all about the big, big crazy things happening. And the things that I really love about this book have nothing to do with the big crazy plot points.
Well, this one, nothing crazy happens
right.
in this book. Except for the thing with Batman's utility belt.
The thing that's crazy that happens in this, for me, is that I loved Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely was enamored of this portrayal of Harley Quinn. Would have been like I want to read this Harley Quinn, and I don't really want to ever read Harley Quinn. Especially the part where she's playing cards with penguins.
Yeah, that was fun. I thought, like, Tom King's a great writer, so
he is.
I have my issues with the overly depressing DC books, but I didn't have any fault with this issue as a comic, as a crossover. It's good.
Yeah.
The things that make it bad are continuity, and that has nothing to do with the people who made the comic.
Yes, and Justice League Drowned Earth number 1 is out.
Yeah. Another weekly crossover from the Justice League.
Not totally excited about this. I'm not totally... I mean, mostly I wasn't really excited about the art. I know he was like a big deal in the 90s and people like him.
Yeah.
Howard, what's his face?
He can hit a deadline, so he's very valuable, I think. And he's not... Like, he's a decent artist. Howard Porter.
I mean, he is a great artist.
Yeah,
no question he's a great artist. There's just something about his portrayals of the characters that I'm not into. Everyone has a kind of Cupid doll look to their faces.
Huh.
They're kind of like, they're all very adorable. Like, their eyes are huge and they're like, they look like they want to say that they love you.
Yeah. So this is clearly just, it's an Aquaman-based crossover timed to kind of come out around the time of the Aquaman movie, which is cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm very excited about the Aquaman movie.
I do like that people are being changed into fish people.
Yeah, it's a wave of magical water that is flooding the earth, and when it hits people, they turn into mutant fish people. And that's the setup of the crossover Drowned Earth.
Yep. And here's an awesome book that came out this week.
Yeah, there's some good stories in it.
This is a really fun book because it's like an anthology book. So you get a bunch of different crazy spider stories. Vault of Spiders, number 1.
Hmm.
The Spider-Geddon tie-in.
I liked it.
I really enjoy these kinds of books. And also, so this kind of hits both of the... This is going to sell very well because it hits being a great comic that I really enjoyed and also manages to be a very collectible comic because there's like 3 first appearances in here.
Oh, yeah.
So three brand new spider characters. Spider Bite with a Y.
Yes. The virtual reality Spider-Man woman.
There's the Savage Land Spider-Man that was raised by spiders.
Yes, there's the Savage Spider-Man. There's a spider cowboy with a spider horse, which I actually really enjoyed.
Love the spider horse.
The spider horse is right up there with Ace the Bat Hound as far as...
I was going to say Bat Cow.
Yeah, but just like the idea of it's like, I have a dog and I want to take him on crime fighting adventures with me, so I'm going to put a mask on my dog. In this case, it's a spider mask on a horse. And then there's also a manga take on Spider-Man that is drawn.
Manga.
And it is actually probably my favorite story in the book. The art is so good in it. It's really cool.
It really is. It's wonderful.
It reads just like the Spider-Man manga.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Except for
lots
it's
of
not,
cool stuff.
It doesn't read right to left.
Which is nice.
Which is good in this
comic. Which is really helpful.
Comic book.
It's something that I was surprised by.
Me too.
X-Men Black Emma Frost. Actually, I guess across the board.
Yeah.
I don't think I've...
The Juggernaut one was really good.
I mean, the one that Scott Aukerman wrote was
the
weakest, and I still really liked it.
Yeah. So
because it was Mojo, probably, is literally it. I mean, yeah. Ackerman's funny. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
So I think that this is like they are restarting X-Men and they wanted to kind of like put some certain set pieces in certain areas. Like I was kind of viewing these as non-continuity, but I think clearly they are continuity and they're just like, okay, we want the Emma Frost to be doing X at the beginning of our new X-Men comic. And this sets that up, but it was pretty good. I like the story and it was good and it's interesting.
I want to talk about my pick of the week.
Yeah, it was really good.
My pick of the week is Mad Number 4.
Bam. That was good.
What the fuck is happening in this world? Everything up is down, left is right, bad is good. Mad Magazine is funny. What the fuck?
It's funny, but it's also like...
socially
really
poignant and like taking big, big, scary steps that like...
That one, that guy, the one you pointed out, Gashly Crumb, Tiny's.
So they do a school shootings thing with using Edward Gorey's Gashly Crumb, Tiny's as the basis. So, you know, A
it does,
is for Edward the Eight Arsenic or that poem.
And the Z in it is just like
it's
rough, man. Not like your haha Mad Magazine necessarily, although there are like definitely a lot. I thought it was really strong, and I haven't read every issue since the relaunch, but I did read the first one, and this is I think the first one I've seen since then, and it's really good. Bill Morrison is the kind of showrunner for it, who did Bongo Comics for a long time, and it's just like it's funny, it's smart, it's not for kids.
It's not
and I think it didn't used to be for kids when it first came out, or maybe it kind of was that nebulous thing where
it could
be.
It's for smart kids.
It's
basically
for smart kids. Yeah, yeah, good.
Which is different, and I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There was a Svengoolie Lampoon.
For God's sake, Svengoolie's in it. They got Brian Posehn and Maria Bamford to do bits.
Maria Bamford's thing was stink lines in
stink
art history.
Stink lines in art history,
that.
Which
really
is brilliant.
Funny.
I literally cannot recommend this issue of Mad enough. It's a Halloween issue. Yeah,
it's got a Shining cover.
It's got a Shining Lampoon on the cover. Man, what the hell?
Oh, man, by Mad.
That's
awesome.
And the red room on it is by Mad.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I will definitely say Mad was my favorite thing this week, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, it was.
It really freaks me out that I loved Mad Magazine that much.
No, I think it's a quality. It's just a really good quality material.
It's good. Awesome.
So
right.
this.
So, what if magic became the Sorcerer Supreme?
You know, funny thing. It actually turns out to be a really enjoyable comic book. And I think it's the same writer as the Emma Frost, because I'm not sure. I'm checking that right now. We have Leah Williams. Yes,
oh, and also maybe we should mention about the Emma Frost. Emma Frost is kind of a continuity important book. It seems to be setting her up for where the new Uncanny X-Men is going to go.
Yeah.
So it makes a really big, bold step in a choice that they're making for her character.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you plan to follow that, this is probably a pretty important book.
Yeah, for sure. And this What If Magic is by the same writer. And it basically is like magic, as you know, she has always existed in continuity, but in this storyline, she gets taken in by Doctor Strange and eventually confronts her longtime tormentor, Belasco. I thought it was a really good, these what ifs have been good.
Yeah, I agree. And so also, Hexwives.
Hexwives. I had a hard time with Hexwives. I thought I would like it a lot better, but so you talk about it.
Okay. For me, Hexwives was essentially like Lady Killer with Satanism.
Yeah.
Get yourself some Satan-y witches and there you go. You got Lady Killer Plus.
I think
it's fun.
For me, it was I've been watching the Sabrina Netflix series, and I think I'm witched out.
I can understand. It definitely, it is interesting because it definitely has a very similar vibe to the Sabrina series.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, obviously they had no idea what the hell was going on with the Sabrina series when they were writing this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they dropped it about the exact same time.
Oh my God, can I tell you my favorite line of dialogue from the Sabrina series?
What's that?
Oh, have you never supped on witch flesh before? Like, who says that?
Oh,
no
I say
one
that.
Says that.
I say that constantly.
Even if you're a witch who sups on witch flesh, you don't say that.
I do. I literally do. I challenge you,
sir.
I was saying it this morning.
Have you ever supped? Who says supped? No one says supped.
Sup.
I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care if you go to a magical witch school. You don't say that.
Sup, magical witches.
Really? The entire series, like, that's the only thing I remember. Like, who says that? Allie's like, you're no fun to watch anything with. I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man. Well,
okay, what's next? Witches.
What is next? What is next?
More witches.
You know, if you're not witched out by now.
Here comes more witches.
Here comes some witches.
Witches.
So, this is, of course, Snyder and Jock doing their... And I'm sorry, I guess Hollingsworth as well.
Yes.
So it's witches. It's all of those backups that were in the Image.
Oh,
the
that's
Image thing.
What
it's all
is.
Crammed together in one giganto 60-pager. It's cool.
My favorite thing is that the
wow,
cover
what
says
was that?
The cover says chit 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 chit.
It does. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like witches,
if
you're going to
like
that.
If you like them. I didn't realize it was a compendium of previously. I thought it was like a Halloween special or something.
Yeah, sort of a combination. Nobody read it.
Takes that.
So, Spider-Force, another tie-in to Spider-Geddon.
This one I didn't enjoy as much as Spider...
It's funny.
What was the other one called?
Spider-Vault.
Vault of Spiders.
Vault of Spiders, yes. That's the one. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's the radiation planet, mostly.
Yeah.
You get some Spider-Kid stuff, which I thought was fun.
I think if you're following the series, Spider-Geddon...
Definitely important.
This is important. But it's the Scarlet Spider... main continuity, and then the regular Spider-Woman from main continuity, and then some other, including, I think this is the Spider-Woman from the Mark Millar Old Man Logan.
Yes, that is, oh my God, what is her name? She has some sort of terrible anti...
So it's like Spider-Bitch.
It's something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, something yep. like that. Anyway,
something horrible.
But
anyway.
I'd be willing to bet they don't call her that anymore.
I bet they don't.
Moving on to Multiple Man number 5, the final issue. This is another one that leads into Uncanny X-Men. So if you have been looking forward to the new Uncanny X-Men, I think that you probably perhaps would want to take a look at this Multiple Man series, which based on what I have seen is definitely, it's the writer. He's one of the writers. Rosenberg is one of the writers, I know. And I know there's like some kind of variant cover of one of them that has Multiple Man, and I think they're setting him up as like an important mutant in the mutant series. Is
I hope so, because I love him.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites. Wow, that's awesome. Michelle has
that's
procured
cool.
a copy of the novelization of Snakes on a Plane.
Wow.
I
couldn't
so.
Tell from here if it was a video cassette or if it was a book.
It got an award.
It did. What was the award? Ooh.
Snakes on a Plane won the Scribe Award.
The award-winning Snakes on a Plane novelization.
Okay, so Maneaters number two is out.
My wife saw it and was like, I want to read this.
And it's great. I mean,
yeah.
it's if you like stories about young girls getting their first periods and then turning into cats thanks to toxoplasmosis and then killing everybody... Pretty great.
Okay, so that's what I was having a hard time figuring out. So toxoplasmosis X is like a disease that everybody is getting, and it involves...
Yes. So if you're unfamiliar, There is a thing that makes you like cats, which is in their feces.
Yes.
So basically,
but it's dangerous to children.
It gets into your brain. It is a fungal thing that gets in your brain and affects you and makes you like cats. And that is a real thing. It also there's also a subset of this that's in their urine that will make smaller rodents not afraid of them. So like rats are less likely to run away from cats and then more likely to get eaten by them because of this magical property of their urine.
You know what's funny is that as you were saying that, your two cats came over and like just started like hovering around
us. They're like, oh, you figured this shit out?
It's like, oh.
Do I have to kill you? They're like, you know what?
Yeah.
It might be time.
What's that? You like us, huh? How much do you like us?
Well, okay, so I just want to include the most important part of this book, which is the 13-year-old's dead samurai haikus at the back.
Ooh, here's, like the fake ads for Toxoplasmosis X medication.
Here's the best haiku for dead samurai haikus. I have a sharp sword. I use it to stab people. Oh no, I just died. So there you go.
Yeah, this is a really well put together and interesting book. And I read it and I wanted to know more because I didn't read the first issue, I think. And I was like, this is, but I like also there's like a crime scene blueprint that shows all the dead bodies and stuff.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it's great. I really dig it. And something else I dug is the new Tony Stark Iron Man number 5.
Yes. Interesting.
It's great. We get Arno Stark back. We get the Iron Man 2020.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, 2 years away now, so
right.
It's about time for Arno Stark to take over, I guess.
Well, so listeners may, modern listeners may, and comic book readers may not know that in the 1980s, there was a Barry Windsor Smith, I think.
I think you're right.
He at least did the cover. But there was a series of specials or annuals, and it was Iron Man 2020, which in the 1980s seemed like a really long time away. And it was featuring Arno Stark, the descendant of Tony Stark. But now, in this new Tony Stark comic, it's...
And Spider-Man, too. It was a Spider-Man crossover, wasn't it? Yeah. Spider-Man and Spider-Man. There was something terrible that happened in that book, actually.
Yeah, I don't...
I think it might be a big spoiler, because for something that they're going to use later. But yeah, something terrible happens in that book.
In the Spider-Man book?
In the Spider-Man crossover.
Oh.
Like,
I don't know what you refer to.
I
missed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically this is saying that Arno Stark is a long lost son of Howard Stark and Tony Stark's brother. And that's that.
That fixes the age.
Yeah.
Infinity Warps, Iron Hammer, Part 2. If you didn't read Part 1, you're probably going to be lost with Part 2.
Yeah, well, okay, can I just point out one of the hardest... So one of the things about Infinity Warps that I find to be difficult is when they combine different words into one word, two words into one word, and then you have to figure out how to pronounce
yes,
it.
I agree.
And so in this one, they have Ragnarok combined with Armor Wars because it's Iron Man and Thor merged, and they have the Ragnarok Wars. And I was just like, how do you say that? Ragnarok Wars, of course. Anyway, yeah, that came out. Iron Hammer.
Iron Hammer came out. Mm-hmm. Extermination number 4 came out.
I liked this. And if you have nothing further to say, I will talk about it.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say about it. He shoots people.
So I've been reading... some press, and there is going to be a relaunch of X-Force, which is combining the sensibility of the modern X-Force, which is the kind of like Deadpool and all those characters, but with the old Cable and Cannonball and Shatterstar and those guys.
Right, and now that Shatterstar is interesting.
Yeah,
and
well, they're
like
all...
Cannonball and all of these people have like interesting backstories now.
So I think, okay, so this is another one. Obviously, this is leading up to the new, because the problem is finally addressed as far as the original X-Men being brought forward in a time, and they kind of discarded some plots that had been introduced in the past, but... I think Extermination is actually interesting. Like, I'm interested in how, and this is like the second to last one, and it was cool, but it really much, very much to me read like, a prequel to this new X-Force.
Yeah,
comic.
Oh, that's absolutely what they're doing. They're they're setting up these other things.
Yeah,
I mean,
I really like the
question is how you get people to forgive Cable after all this nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess technically he just committed suicide, so it's not really a big
well.
Deal.
I mean, basically what he says in this one, and I don't think I'm spoiling a lot. Where he basically is just like, so basically what has previously happened in the series is that a teenaged version of Cable has come back in time and killed the regular version of Cable that we've known, who's like an old man. And this one is saying like the same thing's gonna happen to me eventually. Like,
yeah, that's
it's just
a good
like,
point.
Don't, like, and so this one is like him explaining what he's doing, and you get a lot of like what he's actually doing, and then there's like a thing at the end with one of the X-Men characters where you're like, oh, it's quite a cliffhanger. That cool. I will not spoil.
Awesome. Black Panther.
5.
Number 5.
Yeah.
I'm not following it. I hate space stuff. It lost me.
It's like Black Panther crossed with Star Wars. It's interesting, but like you got to be reading it.
Yep.
In order to really understand it. You can't just like pick one up and be like, oh, I get this. Although I did like in the back of this, for someone who is having a hard time following it, there is a map of the intergalactic Empire of Wakanda in the letters page, which I thought was handy.
Yes. I mean, it's so Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's just like, oh my God, dude.
It's a slow build, you know? It's like
this is a lot of work to get this story. Like, you're really making us work for this.
But when that shit comes out as a trade, you're going to be like,
I will. No, it's true.
Awesome.
And that's the truth, is that I will read it all the way through and I'll be stoked. And you're right. Which was kind of how I felt about the first Black Panther series.
Yeah.
It was like reading it as an individual issue, I would forget from the second issue to the first issue what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you remember when we started the podcast and like the first issue of his run of Black Panther that I read was like the last issue of it. And I was like, this is awesome. like, how did I miss this? And then now I'm following the new one. And it's, of course, like the next issue after the first one I read is like this completely different storyline where you're like, what the hell?
And I love Captain America. I think his Captain America has been great.
Yeah, I think that one's also a slow build.
Yeah, but
it's a little on the.
That's the one that I'm like totally in for some reason.
Yeah, it's
don't
cool.
Know.
No, I definitely like his stuff, and I like him as a voice in comics.
And speaking of things that I'm totally into, this should be like the biggest deal going right now. I'm shocked that this isn't like just everybody's favorite thing in the world.
You might be a 90s kid if you think the Max should be the biggest thing in comics.
I might be, but I mean, it is a big deal.
Yeah, it's cool.
He hasn't done the Max for a really long time.
And
he's come back to do a Batman crossover, and he's done everything, writing, illustrations. He does all the covers. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam Keith is Sam Keith, and there's no one else who can do what he does.
I love the art. The story is weird, but
the story
is exactly
weird.
What I would expect it to be for a Max, and it's fun. That's
and,
cool.
I mean, and also it does feel like I'm literally reading this. Like, this could have come out in 1996.
Oh yeah, this is could come out at any time. It
is very Sam Keithy.
Yeah, like we were trying to place the Sabrina series based on like what like, and eventually someone used a cell phone, and I was like, haha, it is in the modern age. But like, the Max thing is not. You're not going to find that cell phone.
Okay, here's something. We shouldn't even talk about other things, but I got to get this off my chest somewhere. So I'm just going to do it here. Netflix directors. Do you have a move that isn't focusing on the person in the front and blurring your background? Do you have any other moves? Because we've been watching a bunch of stuff, like Daredevil, going back and forth, and it's just like blurry background, close-up, hyper-focus.
Yeah.
Sabrina, Instagram filter in the background, and like hyper-focus in the foreground.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my whole
rant.
I think the stuff that I end up being more into on Netflix ends up being the stuff that they import.
Yeah.
Less than the stuff
but
that
also,
they make themselves. But you know.
Also, this new season of Deadpool's ruled. I've been really enjoying it.
New season of what?
Daredevil.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the Daredevil. Like, but whatever.
I'm looking at a picture of Deadpool while I see that.
Yeah. This is the last book we have to talk about.
I think that's called Synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
I think I
isn't that
pulled,
a
I pulled
metal
myself.
Church album?
Probably. I hope so.
I just pulled a Metal Church. I don't even know what Metal Church is.
Metal Church is.
I've never heard a Metal Church album. I just
like a.
But just going for a deep metal reference.
Deep metal.
Okay, so speaking of deep metal,
K-Tel's deep metal.
Avengers Halloween special.
That was heavy duty.
So when you're like, this is another one of those moments in comics history and pop culture history for me where I'm like, did this just happen?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
This is a bloody slasher movie in the middle of the... It's like John Carpenter's The Thing combined with the Avengers. Cap is a fucking alien monster that devours people.
I mean, it's a mashup of Captain America happening? And The Thing. I mean, literally, right?
Yeah, like, it literally is Captain America is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah. There's also like a Daredevil one where he... You can't.
It's insane.
Fucking crazy. Like, the Fantastic Four one.
If you like horror stuff and you like superhero stuff, this is more that than even like the Marvel Zombies that Kirkman did.
Oh man, this one
The most that.
It's really fun. I like...
Literally, when we get done this podcast, I'm going to go order more of these because I want to have them in stock.
Also,
love it.
There's a panel in this that I think is like one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.
Happy Wolverine.
A couple things. I love like smiling Batman, smiling Wolverine, whatever, you know. But it like goofy, happy smiling, not like I just killed someone and I'm proud of myself smiling. But one thing I want to say about this that I think is really cool is like the cover alone is like a piece of art, and like I would expect that this was a variant cover, but I don't think it was. Like, it doesn't have like a treated logo at all, and it's got this really weird kind of asymmetrical composition that's like really unusual for a Marvel comic or a DC comic or any kind of mainstream comic, but I just was blown away by the caliber of stories in this. I'm very surprised Marvel put this comic out.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought like half of it was really good, and I thought the other half was just decent.
Yeah, but either way, even the decent stuff is so insane that it's like, how did this get made? So,
yeah, it was like, there's a Fantastic Four one that I thought was a little like hard to wrap my head around what was going on. And then there was also like the Wolverine one. Like, it has that great panel, but I was a little bit just kind of like, yeah, no, it was cool, but I loved the art in it. But it didn't immediately like where the Daredevil one was like, what? And then there was like that Captain America one, which is like, holy crap. And then the Punisher one is actually also like a really fun mashup of like, what if the Punisher was character X from noir literature?
Yeah.
If that's the right thing to call the thing it's mashed up with.
It's great. So we didn't go over the stuff that you have. Because we didn't talk about Edgar Allan Poe, did we?
Oh, God, no. And we also missed the Terrifics annual that came out.
Oh, we got to talk. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I have to actually revise my favorite of the week, because this was my favorite of the week.
My bad.
This book is awesome.
What is it called? Snifter of...
It is called Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror from Ahoy Comics. I don't know anything about Ahoy Comics, except that they put out the Captain Ginger, that like space traveling cats book that came out last week.
Captain Ginger.
A couple weeks ago.
Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. I'll let you like go. But I don't do a lot of horror books. This was like I want this. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like horror, but it's not like a pastiche. It's like, it feels like Twilight Zone episodes to me.
It's much...
Or what's the one, the Night Gallery.
Yeah, it's... The thing about it is that it is too smart to be one of these books.
Mm. I didn't like the cover.
I love the cover. I think everything about this book is perfect.
No, I like the... I love the story and art on both stories inside, but I did not love the cover.
It's an insane book, and it's...
Oh,
it's like,
I forgot how good this
everything
was.
About this book screams that Ahoy Comics is going to go under for me. Like, oh, really? You're not appealing to the lowest common denominator? Get ready for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. I cannot recommend this book enough.
So it's looking at the names on this, on the various series that are going to be coming out. This is ex-Vertigo people, a lot
yes.
of experts.
Yes, it is.
So, like, Stuart Moore, Tom Payer.
The
used
editor
to write
of Ahoy
DC.
Is, I think, is he the old guy from Vertigo? Is that...
I'm looking.
There's he's somebody interesting. He was somebody who was from a comics royalty from a long time ago.
Editor-in-chief is Tom Payer, who was a DC guy for sure. I know he did Legion of Superheroes at one point.
Yep.
Let's see. Stuart Moore is a former Vertigo head and editor. I think he was editor. Like he basically took over after Karen Berger.
I remember him. He came into the store a while back.
Yeah, yeah. He's a real good writer, too. I don't see any other names that I recognize. But I do see a lot of names I recognize on the... So the main... It's like Edgar Allan Poe is kind of like introducing it. And then the first story is a pastry chef who is dying of some kind of mucus-related disease.
Consumption, essentially.
Consumption. And it is... super gross, but also super goofy.
Yep.
And then my favorite story in it was by Mark Russell, who did the Snagglepuss series, and we talked about earlier, kind of bringing it full circle, I guess, in a way. It's called Dark Chocolate, and it is basically like what if Count Chocula was a real vampire count, and but done in a way that is so smart and so beautifully illustrated.
And it's not, it doesn't take any of the like the really obvious things that you could do with
right.
that.
No, it's like, just a really good story.
Right. It's funny because like when you hear that, you think of like an old Mad Magazine kind of thing. Or,
right.
And instead, he references them in a very subtle way and does some of it's dead on and funny.
Yeah.
But it's
what is he called? Oh my god, I can't remember. It's called Marquis de Coco.
The Marquis de Coco.
It is so good. Like this was like I would and then there's like some kind of like humor.
Oh,
this actually is very much like
they
a,
do
like
a
old school Mad.
They do a spy versus spy with Edgar Allan Poe and the Black Cat, where basically Edgar Allan Poe is trying to kill the Black Cat, and the Black Cat's trying to kill him, and it's awesome.
Hunt Emerson, who I know I've seen before in various somewhere or another. This is, like I said, not super, like, horror. This was, like, a buy on site. I was like, this is so good.
So good.
And because it's so good, I kept it for myself and didn't put it in the stack of review comics.
And also... what else? Terrifics Annual.
Yeah, the Terrifics Annual came out, which is, if you're a fan of the Terrifics series, which I am.
It's an annual.
Yeah, and it also has art by Doc Shaner, who is, like, one of my favorite artists, and whenever I can get art from him, I love it. It's an origin story for Java from Metamorpho, which is
nice.
Really fun, because he's never had an origin. He's been around since the 60s.
Whoa.
And then there was, like, also, like, a kind of a long story that was like a Plastic Man, like they like kind of clone Plastic Man with disastrous results, kind of gross and sad. And then there was another story at the end with Tom Strong, which was a like kind of like a prequel to the in the beginning of the Terrific series. They discover Tom Strong's existence. Like basically they find Galactus is like, but it's not Galactus, but it's like it might as well be
right,
Galactus,
exactly.
And he's
yeah.
dead and rotted or whatever, and that's where they kind of their origin. So the story in the back is setting up the how Tom Strong met that Galactus character and setting in motion the events that got the Terrifics going. So there was that. There was also some kind of Batman fairy tale possible graphic novel. I don't know if that was new.
Oh,
or
yeah. It's
Dark Prince Charming.
Dark Prince Charming. That's been, yeah.
That's not new, or is
it's
new?
Not new.
Okay. But that I saw that, and I saw obviously Mad, and there was other stuff. It's a fifth
yeah.
week though. It's kind
it's
of
a
weird.
Fifth week.
There isn't really
there's
a lot
there's a pretty cool. They made an omnibus for the American Vampire series, so there's like a 1,000-page omnibus.
Things are so hard to read.
I love American Vampire.
Yeah,
it's one like, of my favorite series. So.
Yeah.
That's stoked cool. to see that get any extra stuff that it can get.
That's Raphael Albuquerque, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah, he's really good. And then there was
the first like
10 to 14 of them are also like co-written by Stephen King.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. And that was Scott Snyder's first thing, too.
Yeah,
he came out of nowhere as like a co-writing a thing with Stephen King.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay. What else? What was that Batman the Animated Series thing?
Ooh, there's a weird Batman board game that came out this week.
That looks cool.
It looks cool. I can't remember. It's called like The Chase Around Gotham or something. I'm totally botching the name, but it looks cool.
It looks cool for sure. Speaking of board games, one thing I didn't mention in that Doom Patrol comic was in the back, there's a map of the demonscape that they're adventuring in and little tiny cutout figures of the characters, which I thought was like really cool, which like not like anyone is ever going to cut their comic up anymore, but like, you know, I don't know.
Still awesome.
It's still awesome. I love that comic so much.
Oh. Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's what we got.
Stick a fork in it.
Exactly. Have a good evening, everyone. And we'll see you later.
Happy spooky Halloween.
Yeah, that thing.
That's what you say on Halloween, right?
Isn't that? Yeah, I think that's what you say. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.